water is a critical resource. If we consider how much water is used in agriculture, it makes up about 70% of the global water available. Municipal water use is about 10%, and industry, it's the rest. It's 20% of the available water. And those industrial companies are, in many cases, supply chain.
At the end of the day, we know that we need to drive collective action. We need to focus on water as a shared resource. And depending on where you operate, you're going to see different challenges. Our customers look to us to help them drive efficiency and water resilience in a climate-changed world.
This dam supplies almost half of the water of a major city of 4 million, Cape Town. But it's almost run dry.
Now the worst drought in 1,200 years has seven states, 30 tribal nations, and Mexico fighting over every precious drop.
Water, water everywhere, yet not a drop to drink. The words of this famous English poem have never sounded more true, as the entire world is now staring at its biggest water crisis in decades. This as the World Water Day is now being observed today across the globe.
This is Radical Reinvention, a show by Zero 100 about reimagining the world's supply chains. I'm Kevin O'Mara. I've spent 30 years working in supply chains, and in that time, I've learned a lot about how we move stuff and the people who move that stuff around the planet. I've also learned that supply chains don't always move with the planet or people in mind. That's why we started Zero 100, to push the world towards 0% carbon, 100% digitized supply chains. This means a world where people's needs are met, but the planet is preserved. To do that, we're working together with the world's most innovative supply chain pioneers and industry experts to tackle some of the biggest challenges facing the planet today. And we're inviting all of you along for the ride. Join us as we work to create a more sustainable and responsible supply chain, one radical reinvention at a time. For today's episode, we're recognizing World Water Day by digging into the role water plays in operations. Where is water use and misuse most prevalent? What are the costs to businesses, the environment, and humanity? And how can digitization provide solutions to the biggest challenges the world faces in improving clean water access and security? Helping us tackle these questions are Ecolab's Senior Vice President and Chief Sustainability Officer, Emilio Tenuta, and Carmen de Miguel, the Strategic Marketing Manager for the Water and Wastewater segment at Schneider Electric. Ecolab is a global sustainability leader that designs and implements water, hygiene, and infection prevention solutions. Their goal is to deliver science-based solutions, data-driven insights, and services that advance food safety, clean and safe environments, and optimal water and energy use around the world. Schneider Electric is a French multinational company that specializes in digital automation and energy management for homes, civil infrastructure, and industries. They use technology, real-time automation, software, and services to optimize energy and resources. I'm thrilled to learn from Emilio and Carmen's insights. Let's jump in. One in four people around the world lack safe drinking water. 74 million will have their lives shortened by preventable diseases related to poor water, sanitation, and hygiene. Global water demand is projected to increase by 55% by 2050, mainly because of growing demands from manufacturing. The CDP's water risk report indicates the total potential financial impact of reported water risks in 2020 was up to $301 billion. Carmen, I'm going to come to you first. What are your thoughts around water as a global issue? Why and where is water vital to operations and supply chains?
Thank you, Kevin. Water is at the center of health, life, business, and at the end of the day, sustainability. So water is a critical resource and needs to be properly managed and treated. If we consider how much water is used in agriculture, it makes up about 70% of the global water available. Municipal water use is about 10%, and in industry, it's the rest, 20% of the available water. And those industrial companies are, in many cases, supply chain. So those companies have a strong impact and strong responsibility in the way they manage water, because that is impacting not only their license to operate, but also in terms of their operations are subjected today to a very important KPI around water conservation. Also, they are impacting their customers' businesses because they are on the upstream side of their customers' footprint. By 2050, the global water scarcity, if we continue like that, could have an impact in the gross domestic product by up to -11.5%. And so realizing the role of all communities, utilities, municipalities, industrials, and also agriculture is essential. If we go back to the industrial side of water, they have a lot to do in water conservation. Schneider Water Footprint, we have about 250 facilities where we manufacture automation and control devices, PLCs, drives, medium voltage, low voltage systems, EV charging stations. But in most of the cases, our facilities are dry. So our water footprint is not very big. But since we have a strong sustainability strategy that we started 15 years ago, we have a strong pledge to measure our impact. We are measuring the water footprint that we have at our sites. And we started to measure two main KPIs. One is the water usage, and the second is pollution, ensuring that we are not impacting in our operations through the water that we discharge into the environment. And the commitment is that by 2025, 100% of our sites in water stress areas will have a dedicated strategy and an action plan. And by monitoring these two KPIs today, we are measuring where we are mostly impacting, and we are putting in place some actions to reduce the water in some processes, like painting, for example, or harvesting rainwater, recovering water, and reuse. In 2022, we added two plants to the Sustainability Lighthouse Factories from the World Economic Forum. We have launched a program for all type of industries, energies and chemicals, mining, semiconductors, food and beverage, pharmacology. We work with those industrial customers towards sustainable water management, aiming at basically maximizing circularity, the capability to reuse water and recover resources, and leveraging our expertise on the municipal side of the water, bringing that to the industrial side with our capabilities, partnerships, and our technology.
Emilio, I know Ecolab is extremely water-centric in terms of the way it thinks about the world. And I think building on some of what Carmen just shared with us, maybe you just give a bit of an overview of how Ecolab thinks about water.
Sure, Kevin. And thanks again for having us today. The way Ecolab thinks about water, water is essential to our operations and our products and services. The sustainable management of water resources is fundamental to our business and our business strategy, because even though we have 100 facilities around the world, our water and energy intensity is quite small. And the impact that we have through our 3 million customer locations that we serve every day across 40 different industries is obviously much more impactful in the work that we do there through our solutions that help them manage water and climate challenges. And so the importance of water and the way our customers think about this is really focused on protecting the environment, human health, but also the economic development in our local communities, right? And so water stewardship is a concept that you're going to hear more and more about, where you start to focus on water as a shared resource, depended on by many stakeholders. There's an organization called the Alliance for Water Stewardship that has developed a de facto standard for water stewardship. They have given us the framework that looks at how organizations should manage water at the local level, hyper-localized. There's no two drops of water that are the same in the world, right? So depending on where you operate, you're going to see different challenges. And so our customers look to us to help them accelerate the programs they need to really drive efficiency, but also water resilience in a climate-changed world. And that really is at the core of what Ecolab does.
I'm interested in quantifying the impact of water. I have always loved Ecolab's leadership, and I think in terms of the smart water navigator, if you want to just give me a little bit of a perspective on how your customers think about it and how you make it easier for them to apply some of the technical capabilities you guys bring to the market.
Absolutely. Ecolab has developed a tool called the Water Risk Monetizer in 2014. We partnered with S&P Global to really understand the big challenge that we all still face today, which is that water is inexpensive and undervalued. So how do we start to really put a monetized value on water and the benefits that it's delivering to our operations? Because water is clearly a dependency. And so the Smart Water Navigator is a publicly available online water management platform that essentially has three purposes. One is to set local water reduction targets and drive internal accountability to help operations reach their goal at the local level. The second is, how do you optimize water use leading to more resilient operations? And Ecolab has a key role there to help implement those solutions that they need to really conserve water, but also reuse and recycle water, especially as we see the effects of climate change impacting many parts of the world. And then third, and very importantly, is how do you build trust and credibility with stakeholders? Because at the end of the day, we know that we need to drive collective action because water is indeed a shared resource by many stakeholders. And so what we've done, Kevin, is we developed this four-phase framework on building resiliency. Step one is identify. How do you assess and quantify the risks associated to your operations in your local area? The second is then, given the baseline water stress, how do you target a sustainable water withdrawal goal for your operations given the local conditions? And then three, once you know those priority sites and what the goal is, how do you implement the right solutions given the shared water challenges that include measurement and then being able to really reduce, reuse, and recycle water at that site level? And then finally, the fourth phase is being able to track your progress, because we know that if we're going to reach our targets, we need to have the right cloud and technology solutions that can enable us to measure and quantify the impact over time. So those are the four phases of the Smart Water Navigator.
Yeah, it's a great tool. I mean, the fact that it's publicly available and the fact that it makes it logical for people to think about water as a resource that, even though we're trained habitually to think of it as free, is 100% not free and will be even less free when it becomes a bigger issue. Carmen, I'm going to come back to you on this. One of the things that our audience is particularly interested in is which industries are the most water hungry, and where do we see the biggest opportunity to get smart about water?
Well, the higher water consumer industries in absolute figures are power utilities, refining petrochemicals, mining, food and beverage, also upstream oil and gas, microelectronics, and so on. But you also need to consider the water intensity, so the cubic meters per dollar of production. And if you look into that, then the list is a little bit different. So power utilities still on the first place, then second mining, cement, pharma, beverages, semicon. And in all cases, what we see in our customers is the need by regulation, by their ESG, their social commitment, their corporate responsibility to step up and to do much more regarding water management. Together with our sustainability services, we have also capabilities to support not only in the strategy of the sustainability journey, but also in the digital transformation journey. This industrial water management basically is instrumented. There is a lot of data, but there is a need to measure better and to decide better the critical elements to measure. But the relevant thing is to leverage data. So from data to information, because typically the water industry is rich in data, but poor in information. So if we translate that on the industrial side, you have more instrumentation, a readiness to invest and to be innovative, if you wish. But data management is the starting point. Putting the data in the best situation to be used. And then on top of that, we of course have the automation layer Also, we have solutions to put the software at the center of the automation. So getting rid of the hardware to give more independence and to be agnostic in terms of hardware. And of course, we have a machine learning, AI-driven analytics capable of managing assets to conserve water and detect leakage and be proactive, and also monitoring the progress of the programs that you put in place.
I know your customers at Ecolab, Emilio, are very water intensive and very conscious of water. How do you approach digital tools? How do you classify the use of technology to begin to both sense it, monitor it, analyze it?
Absolutely. One of the biggest gaps that we see in industry today from a water management perspective is the gap in metering and submetering when it comes to understanding how water and energy, for that matter, is put to use within an operation across the critical water circuits. The way we think about it at Ecolab is that that's got to be the first step, right? Is being able to measure, because obviously you can't manage and you can't improve something if you can't measure it as a first step. So the opportunity we launched over a year ago was the solution called Water Flow Intelligence, which enables us to use the cloud and sensors to really understand what the critical water circuits are within a manufacturer, whether it be an automotive assembly plant, a food and beverage processor, whether it be the cloud and a data center. We need to understand how water is put to use. And that gives us a lot more knowledge in terms of where we're seeing the leaks, where we're seeing mismanagement. So that's a big part of it. The other is water quality, because we know that quality drives demand. And so how do you measure the water chemistry as it flows through your operations, as it comes in, and being able to really drive the smart sensor technologies, we call it 3D TRASAR, that enables us in real time monitor and control unit operations, whether it be critical cooling systems in a refinery or whether it be the critical cooling capacity that you need in a data center to keep the cloud operating uninterrupted. And then you bring it all together. We have the Ecolab Global Intelligence Center, several locations around the world where we have experts that monitor these connected systems. So we have 30,000 connected 3D TRASAR controllers that are being monitored by engineers that also alert our customers to what is happening, what's being disrupted, how do we understand the unique situation in their operation that causes an alarm? How do we help them manage some of these exceptions that you might see to manage water a lot more efficiently and resiliently in their operations?
Think of industrial users of water. I think of two big categories. One where water's an ingredient, brewers, drinks makers, and so forth, and water's more like a tool. Cooling, flotation, separation, things like that. To me, it seems logical that, like any tool, you use it, you clean it, you put it back on the shelf. If it is not a free resource, if we don't throw it away like it's a consumable, but use it like it's a tool, how far are industrial users in general from thinking of water as a tool, not a resource?
We are starting to see the trend that water can be infinitely reused as a tool, as you perfectly said before. And this is driven by regulation, driven by economical impact in the P&L of our industrial customers. Water has a cost. It's not valued enough, but for them, if their sites are shut down because they are not managing water properly, then the risk is huge. And so the technology is there as the way to go. The innovation, digitization, and collaboration with partners. For me, these three elements are key in implementing and moving ahead with better water management. I can give you an example of what we are doing with our technology at one of our sites in Normandy that was recognized by the World Economic Forum as a sustainability-led house. We already have six of those in Schneider. And basically what we have done there is implemented IIoT sensors connected to a digital platform to leverage data, to put data ready to be used. Okay, so we are unlocking data, driving the savings in efficiency and also other savings. And at that plant, we have a zero reject water recycling station, which is connected to cloud analytics and monitored by artificial intelligence. As a result, we have achieved a 64% reduction in the water consumption, but also, thanks to connectivity and other sensors along the way in the facility, we have a more holistic strategy, and we are saving waste by 17% and CO2 emissions by 25%. This is just an example to show what we can do. And also, we helped a customer in Brazil, BRK Ambiental, operating the largest wastewater treatment plant in the country, Aquapolo, where our technology is implemented for automation control and for energy management as well. So our EcoStruxure solution is helping produce recycled water as a tertiary treatment. Afterwards, there is an advanced treatment, and that water is reclaimed and sent to a petrochemical site for further reuse. That way, the company is recycling sewage to meet the growing demand on the industry, and they are saving water for nearly 500,000 people.
It's a good story, and it's a good example of thinking about water as a renewable resource. In fact, we had Doug Baker speak at one of our events a few years back, and he was hot on this topic. Emilio, how do you at Ecolab evolve minds to think about water differently and get people into that mindset that it's a renewable resource if handled well?
We're obviously talking here today on World Water Day. This is our Super Bowl, right? So this is something that is not on everyone's radar. And Doug Baker and our current CEO and chairman, Christoph Beck, would say that it should be World Water Day every day, right? Because we need to think about water as a critical resource supporting not only our operations, but our business objectives, our growth, as well as our sustainability. And so to me, a lot of the examples that we talk about really have to focus on how we leverage water as a renewable resource to not only reduce, reuse, and recycle water, but to really drive business operations, business performance, and that this notion of having a green premium needed to support these projects is false. There is value in focusing on a water strategy that also aligns with your climate strategy, and we see that water and energy clearly are linked. And a great example of this is we worked with Microsoft, and there was a data center in San Antonio, Texas, that came up on the water risk monitor and the Smart Water Navigator as at risk. And so we know that San Antonio is dry, but there's also issues with water quality. And so in San Antonio, at that hyperscale data center, we worked with Microsoft to understand the solutions available to support the water needs, avoiding about 60 million gallons of fresh water by replacing it with gray water that was available in the area. So that's untreated wastewater that could be used for the critical cooling in the data center to support the cloud. And so there's an example where not only did they avoid fresh water that the community depended on, but they also were able to save about $140,000 annualized in US dollars at that operation by leveraging some of the smart technology we talked about with 3D TRASAR. So those are the kind of examples that have not only business implication, but also the opportunity to support the community that depend on this shared resource, because those two things have to work hand in hand if we're going to succeed.
Yeah, and these are great examples. I want to get some thoughts from you both on what should consumers be thinking about.
First thing, citizens are more and more caring about water and more concerned about the environment and also about technology, innovation. And they look at their water suppliers, the water utilities, or even the industrial customers with different eyes, depending on how those companies act concerning the environment. So this is a trend. Water utilities say that their consumers are more and more demanding in terms of quality of the water, what their water utility is doing in terms of innovation, technology investment to care about water, to treat water better. So consumers have a lot to say and they have strong commitment. But also citizens can be like sensors. So in the digital era that we are in, everything is connected, everything is interlinked, and the information is flowing. And we see a trend also in innovative programs for water to have more digital contributors from citizens.
It's a good time to get people involved, especially with World Water Day. Emilio, you want to offer any additional thoughts on consumers and their attitudes to water and what they can do?
So there's new data from a global survey that was conducted and commissioned by Ecolab, released today on World Water Day, that water sustainability and climate change are absolutely on the minds of thousands of consumers across 8 different countries that we serve. We found out that 3 out of 4 consumers believe businesses should make conserving water a higher priority. And more than 60% of consumers said that they or a family member have had trouble accessing drinking water. So that leads me to this historic event that's happening, the UN Water Conference in New York, which is something that Ecolab is involved in along with many other organizations. It is literally a watershed moment. We haven't had a UN Water Conference in nearly 50 years. And the reason that's a big deal is because the water crisis has reached epic proportions. And this opportunity, March 22nd through the 24th, is that opportunity where the Secretary General of the UN will have an open call to action around 100 priority basins that we need to all lean in on to really drive net positive water impact in the world, which is all about delivering more to the watersheds we operate in than we're taking from it. So, Kevin, I really feel that this is an important year on World Water Day 2023.
Yeah, it's an exciting moment. And to think that it's been 50 years since the last time this is done suggests that maybe we're a little overdue. If you had a magic wand and could address this problem unconstrained, what can you imagine happening in the question of water security and access that would be the solve?
We have a great and huge challenge, but we also have still time to react. I'm always positive. It's a matter of commitment, innovation, and collaboration. These three are the pillars, the only way to work together towards this common goal. No one can solve the problem alone, and we need support from all the stakeholders. Everyone is involved at the end of the day in sustainable water conservation.
What you heard on this podcast is that we do have the technology today on the shelf. We don't have to go to the moon to address the water crisis. Collaboration is key. The UN Water Conference is an example of what we need to do more of. And there's an organization that I thought I'd share with your audience, the Water Resilience Coalition, a UN-led coalition that's bringing together the biggest CEOs in the world to really raise the profile of water up the corporate agenda.
Well, those are both very inspiring thoughts on World Water Day. And in fact, with this Water Resilience Coalition, I see a lot of high-level support and commitment for moving forward on this. Thinking about the water issues through the lens of supply chain and operations people, I love what I'm hearing from both of you about the role of awareness and consciousness that water is a resource. We know industrial organizations, manufacturers, operations people in many industries are dependent upon water to get the work done. We also know that, unfortunately, human habits are that water is free, don't worry about it. Well, we know that's not true. So what I love hearing today is how you both are in organizations that take it way down into the details to understand how water actually works in the process to give those who are consuming or using a lot of water in their processes. For me, it's very exciting to not only think about it from an ops standpoint and how water can be used smart, but also think about it from a consumer standpoint and personal accountability. Any final thoughts either of you want to throw out there?
Water and energy, as we say in Schneider, are two sides of the same coin. Water suffers the impact of global warming, and that's why we need to look at both elements together because they are really interrelated.
By 2030, the World Resource Institute stated that business as usual will lead to a 56% gap in freshwater supply and demand. That's 7 years away. That's alarming. And so we know we can't conserve our way out of this with all these mega trends that we just talked about today. We have to do more. And the fact of the matter is less than 3% of the wastewater that's being discharged is actually reused and recycled, less than 3%. So what if we doubled that? In fact, let's triple it, 9%. That would make a huge difference. So I feel that there's an opportunity and call to action for all of us to really drive toward going beyond just conservation to solve the water crisis. And we have the technology today to do that.
It's great stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. All right, friends, there you have it. That's it for Radical Reinvention Episode 11. Thank you to Emilio Tenuta, the SVP and Chief Sustainability Officer at Ecolab, and Carmen de Miguel, Schneider Electric Strategic Marketing Manager for Water and Wastewater. You can find links referenced throughout the episode in the show notes. 0100 community members have exclusive access to all of our full interviews online at 0100.com. See you next time.
This episode of Radical Reinvention was produced by Kevin O'Mara, Catherine Perry, Brian Egan, Mike Silverman, Diane Hope, Nick Heineman, and me, Victoria Marin. Ko Takasugi Chernovan is our editor and sound engineer and also composed our theme music. To find out more about 0100 and to check out our content library, go to 0100.com. If you're interested in joining our community of contributors, send us a note at hello@0100.com.